I'm so glad that all of you are here tonight. We're going to change our study just a little bit. No longer going to be real hard, can I say we're going to study history and geography. We're going to study Acts. Now, that's not going to be real hard, because we've done that before. But there's just a lot of goodies in Acts, and we have some in the class that weren't in the class the last two times that we did that. And perhaps some of you have only been through it one time. But I hope that it'll be beneficial and profitable to you. One of the things that I want to do at the end of our study is to come out remembering the book of Acts. I want you to know that book because it is so unique. There's only one like it in the New Testament, the book of history. It covers about 30, 33 years, and we've just got to know what's in it. So we're going to work on that as best we can, beginning in our study tonight. When we study the book of Acts, of course, as an overview, we want to see what its content is. First of all, we note that in chapter 1, we're going to be reading about the final instructions of Jesus unto the apostles. We see that in what we have called the Great Commission in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's account of the Great Commission is worded a little bit differently and very, very brief, so we won't count that one. But we do want to note that the instructions of Jesus to the apostles are found in Acts chapter 1. His ascension is also found in Acts chapter 1. He promised the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in chapter 1, which occurred in chapter 2. And then we read of the beginning of the church in the city of Jerusalem, again Acts chapter 2. We're going to look at a number of instances of conversion in the book of Acts, as the instructions to the apostles was to go and preach the gospel to every creature, as we see in Mark's account. Many conversions in the book of Acts, and the relevance of that we'll see as we go along. If you're studying with someone, by the way, some of you I know have read the book Muscle and Shovel, and what that is, you've expressed your interest in it. That it's a conversation between someone at work and his employer or fellow worker to try to help him to understand more fully what the Bible says. And in doing so, we're going to use this occasion in our class to hopefully polish our skills on teaching someone what they need to do to go to heaven. In order to do that, we need to be able to teach them what to do to be a Christian. And so the book of Acts is very relevant as we look at these cases of conversion, and I want you to know not only where or what they are, but where they're located in the book of Acts. We're going to work really hard on where is that found as we study the 28 chapters. Also, we'll study the ministry of Philip, Peter, John, and we'll talk about Barnabas and Silas and so forth. We'll talk about the preaching tours of Paul. Now, I know in our study of history and geography, we had some maps of that, and we talked about that. Some of you said, well, that's a study of the book of Acts. No, that's not a study of the book of Acts. That's just kind of a study of the preaching tours. We look at the early history of the church in the book of Acts, as we mentioned, about 3.5 years from the text of Acts chapter 1 and 2 on to the arrest of Paul and his journey to Rome to stand before Caesar in chapter 28. Pardon me? 3.5, thereabouts. For the book of Acts. Oh, 33. What did I say? 33 years for the book of Acts. I was thinking of the life of Christ. D. 33 years. Thank you for correcting me. The book of Acts is a book of beginnings, too. We're going to talk about the beginning of the preaching of the gospel. We'll talk about the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit and who did that. We'll talk about the beginning of the church, the beginning of the kingdom in Acts chapter 2, and the beginning of the preaching of the message of remission of sins. I read somewhere, can't tell you right now where, that Acts 2 is to the church what Genesis 1 and 2 are to creation. I believe that's right. It gets us started in the early history of the church. When we talk about who wrote it, well, we know that it is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke. I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, and then we'll look at Acts chapter 1. verse 1. In Luke chapter 1, the first four verses, I want to call your attention very carefully to it. It says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us, who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed." Now, I want you to notice two or three things about that. First of all, we note that Luke says there are a number of folks who've recorded the history of the life of Jesus. Secondly, we want to note that he considers it worthwhile for him to write a history of the life of Jesus. But the thing that makes this unique is Luke says, "I'm writing unto thee in order." So the things that you're reading in the Gospel of Luke are written in chronological order. And when you study from the book of Acts, knowing that the writer of the book of Luke is the same one, most likely, who wrote the book of Acts, you'll note that the book of Acts, being a chronology of the early church, is also written in order. And so that makes it very, very important. When we talk about the book of Acts and Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the writer introduces it by saying, "The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach." It appears very clearly that the writer is the same in both of these books, that the book of Acts is a follow-up on the book of Luke. And if you look at the last few verses of the book of Luke, and likewise the first few verses of the book of Acts, you'll see a slight overlap in these two books. When you read in the 24th chapter, about verse 44 through the end of the chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we note that the apostles have returned to Jerusalem to await the coming of the Holy Spirit. We know that the book of Acts begins with Jesus in chapter 1 rehearsing things concerning his kingdom. And then we read of the promise of Jesus in about verse 5, I think it is, 4 or 5, that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them not many days hence, and they are to return to the city of Jerusalem and await what God had promised. Well, that's what we read at the close of Luke. So we see then that the writer of both of these is the same person. And most likely, most scholars believe that to be Luke. We also want to note that Luke is referred to by Paul in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14 as the beloved physician. Now that tells us some things I'd like to think about Luke, that he's very educated, that certainly he was a help to Paul, not only in his teaching, but also concerning the things that Paul suffered. I want to call your attention as we study through and as you read through, and I would encourage you to listen to on computer or on tape or read if you prefer. I'd much prefer that you do that. The book of Acts, try to set a schedule where you read through it about once a month. Now, that ought not be too taxing or demanding, because what I want us to do is to know it like the back of our hand when we're finished with it. Okay? And as you're reading through the book of Acts, I want you to notice what I call the "we" sections of the book. "We." Now, we noted that somewhat as we discussed the travels of Paul, the first, second, and third preaching tours. And we noted these verses and noted that the writer is indicating his presence with Paul through the expressions "we" and "us." And then observe carefully the expressions "they" or "them," because some of that is in a mix, which tells us that at one point Paul leaves Luke at a certain place and he travels on to someplace else. And then later Luke joins Paul, as we see the resumption of the expressions "we" and "us." And so we want to look for those as we're reading through the books or the book of Acts. We also note that Paul was accompanied by Luke when he was in the prison in Rome, or imprisoned in Rome, as we see evidence of that in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, and Philemon verses 23 through 24. Now, if you're taking notes, some of these things you might want to write down, but eventually this material is going to be on our website under that heading, Study of the Book of Acts, I believe it is, Study of Acts, something like that. You'll note it. Bible classes, Study of Acts, is where it will be. And already on the website is the questions for each chapter. And I'd like for you to print that out so that you can bring that to class all completed as we go over those questions. And I've got some comments I want to make on that in just a little bit. But what I want to suggest to you now is this material, PowerPoint material, is eventually going to be on our website. Now, when we look at the book of Acts, we looked at this chart Sunday to have some idea about when Acts was written. And it's helpful if we have some hitching posts along the way, some things that we do know when they occurred that we can date that are found in the book of Acts that are helpful to put into this history that we're going to be studying. We know when Herod lived and died. Of course, we read about that in Acts chapter 12. We know when Festus was governor in Judea and Felix. And we can read about that in Acts chapter 24. And then we know that Paul was arrested, as we trace the history back 2 years previous to a period before Festus. We know that during those 2 years, where was he? Caesarea. Yes, he was in Caesarea. And then we know about them when he departed for Rome and when he reached Rome. And then it appears that the book of Acts, as it concludes with Paul's imprisonment in chapter 28 and so forth, that it would end at the end of Paul's imprisonment, thereabouts. So we date the book around 63, some go 64 A.D. So that's where we are on the timeline. And here's where I was trying to say a while ago, Jenny, the book covers from the ascension of Christ about 30 to 63, about 33 years in history. And there's our point regarding the order of things that Luke is writing. I have a question for you, because I know that some of you are at least, or have at least, thought of it, and perhaps you might be tempted to ask me, so I just want to ask you, who was Theophilus? Hands? One.
Well, it sounds like in the visual, the root of the word meaning, theo meaning God, and phil meaning love, so it could just be to one who loves God.
That's right. That's right. That's very good. You did excellent on that. So everybody remembers that. We're not talking necessarily about an individual, very unlikely, but probably to those who are lovers of God. Thank you, Carolyn. Now, here's a very brief outline that the book of Acts gives itself. I want you to look at it. Acts chapter 1, look at your Bible or look at the board. It says, "But ye shall receive power." Now, notice the context of this. Apostles have just asked the question, "Do you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said, "It's not for you to know what the times or seasons that are set with the Father." But he said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth." Now remember that the commission that was given unto the apostles was, "You will be my witnesses." This is what you're going to do. As you look at Luke's account, chapter 44 through 47. And as you look at that, we see that played out in this history. And here's the time frame, the passages that you'll read about that. The things that occur from chapter 1 up through chapter 8, verse 4, occurred in Jerusalem. Now you know that in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, there was the scattering as the result of persecution. And Christians went everywhere. And in particular, we see then in Acts chapter 8, verses 5 through 12, Philip preaching in Samaria. So now we've got it preached in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And then beginning in chapter 13, you read of the preaching tours of Paul.
And one can only assume when you read of the first preaching tour by Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13, and then the difficulty over John Mark in chapter 15, and they separated, that as we do not read about the work of Barnabas and John Mark, but we do read about the work of Paul, we can, I think, have a very good conclusion that the other apostles were doing the very same things in other places, spreading the gospel. Now here is somewhat of a detailed outline of the book of Acts that, again, will be on our website, and I'd like you to print this out and have it with you as you read and study through the book. We know in chapter 1 through chapter 7, for the most part, through chapter 8, verse 4, we see of the disbursement of the church because of the persecution. But if you look in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, verses 1 through 26, 1 through 26, through that whole chapter, we see a number of things. One, we read about the ascension of Jesus. The angels telling the disciples, as you saw him go, that's how he'll come again. And we see reference made to the Old Testament prophecy regarding the selection of someone to take the place of Judas Iscariot. In the latter part, then, of chapter 20, or chapter 1, about verse 20 through the end of the chapter, is discussing how then that Matthias was selected by the Lord to take the place of Judas Iscariot. In chapter 2, the events of that first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ. We have a lot to say about that chapter, said a lot about it Sunday morning in the lesson, but I want to do a more thorough, perhaps, study of that when we get to it. In chapter 3, we read of the beginning of miracles performed by the apostles. And we know Peter and John in chapter 3, as they see a lame man at the gate of the temple and the man begging, Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I thee." And he told him to arise and walk. Well, that becomes the setting of the stage for the next things that occur on through about chapter 5. Because in that context, this miracle provokes a lot of stir in the city of Jerusalem that caused a lot of problems. We'll talk about that as we get a little further down on through chapter, the latter part of chapter 5. The early part of chapter 5, as you see on the board, the church unfolding in power. Now, one of the things that you're going to be doing in our study is learning some specific items that are found in each chapter. So when I ask you, where do I read about this, you'll know immediately what chapter that's in. I'm not asking for the verses, but if you can find the chapter, you can find the verse. But you need to know what chapter things are in the book of Acts. And of course, in Acts chapter 5, one of the things that I guess Donna or somebody came up with to try to remember what's in Acts chapter 5, the early part of it, we read about Ananias and Sapphira. And Donna, what happened to them? They lied and died in 5. Now, you learned that in the South. You wouldn't get that in the North or out West. They lied and died in 5. And so we're going to be talking about that in some detail and talking about the effects that that had upon the church and even upon those who were not members of the church. In Acts chapter 6, we're going to be reading about a problem that existed regarding the benevolent needs of some in the church in Jerusalem. We'll talk about the Grecian widows, who they were, and the assumption that they were being neglected in the daily administration and what caused the need for that daily distribution. Then in chapter 6, verse 8, going forward, we read about the persecution, for the most part, of the early church. We'll read about Stephen. We'll read about the accusations that were made against him. In the 7th chapter, we'll read about his death. And then the early few verses of chapter 8, we'll read about the scattering of the church at the onslaught of Saul. And then in chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, we'll read about Philip's work in Samaria, the miracles that he performed. And we'll read about Simon the sorcerer. And then we'll read about, in chapter 9, the conversion of Saul and the work that he was then to do among the Gentiles. Now, I would call your attention to this particular chart and noting Galatians chapter 1. I've got another chart that I want to call your attention to in just a moment regarding Galatians chapter 1. Because in Galatians chapter 1, we read in the latter few verses of that chapter Paul's defense of his apostleship. And the relevance of that in our Acts study is the times that he visits Jerusalem are identified, I believe, as two times in the book of Galatians. And we see five times that are identified in the book of Acts. And I, again, have a chart on that. I'll show you in just a moment. But what we want to know is when Paul is writing to the Galatians and he identifies two times of Paul's visit in Jerusalem, which ones were they as we compare that to the accounts in Acts? And the importance of that is to see at what time Paul was converted, how many years he spent before he was ever among the other apostles, and what he did during that time. In chapter 10 and 11, we read about the conversion of the first of the Gentiles. By name, Johnny? Cornelius, yes. In chapter 10, we read of the historical events of the conversion of the household of Cornelius. And then in the beginning verses of chapter 11, we see that the Apostle Peter is called on the carpet because he's associated with Gentiles. And that was a no-no. You didn't do that. And so Peter then gives the report of what happened. So you've really basically got chapter 10 repeated in chapter 11 with the conversion of Cornelius. And then in chapter 11, verse 18, we note that the brethren in Jerusalem then praise God because God has granted repentance unto life unto the Gentiles also. So now we've got the induction of the Gentiles into the preaching of the gospel and becoming members of the church. In chapter 12, we read of Herod's persecution. This is the first time that we see that the Romans are employed by the Jews to persecute the church. And we want to take special note of that because we now have a Roman official that puts to death James, and it's his intention to put Peter to death. In the next chapter, chapter 13, begins another section where we began the preaching tours of the Apostle Paul. First, we read of Paul and Barnabas in chapter 13, and then on through chapter 15, where then it becomes Paul and Silas. We know then that in chapter 15, there was trouble over circumcision among these Gentile churches. Specifically in Antioch is where Paul was preaching, and Barnabas, and we know that Paul and Barnabas were then sent to Jerusalem to discuss this matter of circumcising the Gentiles. Then in chapter 15, the latter part, just the last tail end of it, verse 36, we see the second preaching tour beginning. And we see that ending in chapter 18. And again, in verse 23 of chapter 18, we read of the third preaching tour beginning and it ending in Acts 21 when Paul is arrested. And then in Acts 21 through the remainder of the book, we read of Paul's journey to Rome as a prisoner. Any questions or comments just here? Now again, this is on, or will be, on our website. In fact, it may be. I don't remember if it's in the Word document or PDF file. It is? Okay. So it's already on there then. And so you'll have this to help you as you study. Now, again, why are we studying Acts? Well, we can say it's important. Well, it is. It's the only book that gives us the history of the Lord's church. But it's also gives us a background for 10 of Paul's epistles. And you see those on the board. First and second Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Romans, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Philemon. Now, we've said a number of times as we've talked about this in our introductory remarks of what we were going to study next and so forth. The reason why we need to know Acts, not only is it a book of history, but it serves as a skeleton against which all these other books can be hung. It's the outline, if you please. And so as we study concerning the travels of Paul much of the information regarding the churches that were established and the history of those churches to which we're introduced in the book of Acts, we read of that in these corresponding epistles. So the book of Acts is just filled with so much good information that we need to know. And then, of course, as we talk about the characters in the book, very simple breakdown. The main character is Peter in Acts 1 through 12. And then Paul in Acts 13 through 28. Now that's an easy way just to break the book. Okay? You're reading about Peter in the first 12 verses. Thereafter, you're reading about Paul. Now, again, why are we studying this? It records five of Paul's visits to Jerusalem. They're on the board. I don't know if these are in there. They are? The PDF file? I don't know if that's in there or not.
I don't see it.
Pardon me?
I don't see it.
Don't see it? Okay. It's on these charts. It will be. Five of Paul's visits to Jerusalem. Acts 9, of course, when Paul was converted, later we see him in the city of Jerusalem. In fact, as we compare the book of Galatians chapter 1, we learn that it was much later. And we see that Barnabas spoke on his behalf as he desired to have fellowship with the brethren in Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 11, verses 20, that should probably be 27 through 30, we see that Agabus, who was a prophet in Jerusalem, came down to to Antioch to prophesy about a famine that was to come to pass throughout all the land in the days of Claudius. Now, in Acts chapter 11, we know that the brethren in Antioch determined to send relief to the brethren that dwell in Judea. Now, in our authority class, how many of you were in our authority class? Okay, you're well familiar then with this point, Johnny, that in Acts chapter 12, verse 25, we see that the Apostle Paul returned from Jerusalem. Some therefore conclude that the only place he went to distribute these funds was Jerusalem. And that's just not so. He went to the churches throughout Judea, of which Jerusalem was the last one. Now, how would we come to that conclusion, Johnny? Picking on you tonight. So you got to pay attention, because you never know when I'm going to call your name. Pardon me?
You said all of it when you said that you went through the churches of Judea.
Okay.
Jerusalem is a church in Judea.
Okay. How do we know it wasn't a sponsoring church?
From another reference and another verse.
That is right. And James is going to tell you what that reference is. Right, James?
Kind of in the book of Galatians, I think.
No, it's not. No, it's not Galatians. Anybody? 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Because Peter, as a fellow elder, is addressing those men who are elders, and he tells them, tend the flock of God which is among you. Does that sound familiar? And so we know that elders do not have oversight like sponsoring elders would to oversee more than the church which is among you. Now I know that many of you are familiar with churches of Christ who become a sponsor of a particular work that several churches of Christ participate in. Well, I want you to see, you don't need to favor that, because that violates the principle of 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. Tend the flock which is among you. The elders here don't have any authority over any part of the work of another church in some other location. Do we see that? All right. A lot of churches don't see that and make the argument that Acts 12, 25 makes Jerusalem a sponsoring church for the province of Judea. And that won't work. It violates the limitations that Peter imposes upon the authority of local elders. 1 Peter 5, James 1 and 2. And of course, we're now in Acts chapter 15. In Acts 15, we see of the problem that existed in Antioch of Syria over the matter of circumcising Gentiles. It created a great disturbance. And Paul and Barnabas were sent up to meet with the brethren and the elders that were in Jerusalem. Now, in Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2. The Apostle Paul makes reference to this visit. Galatians chapter 2. Some conclude that in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is making reference to the Jerusalem visit identified in chapter 11 or chapter 12, verse 25. I'm not persuaded at all that that's true, because that visit to Jerusalem had to do with the matter of benevolence. In Acts chapter 15, the matter was circumcision. And the matter is circumcision that's being discussed in Galatians chapter 2. I believe those represent then the same visit. The context is dealing with the same matter. And then in Acts chapter 18, just a very brief blip that you might not recognize. And that is in Paul's second preaching tour. The text tells us that he arrives at Caesarea. You see that? Verse 21. And he went up to greet the brethren. Most believe, though at least I've read after, that when he went up to meet the brethren, that it's not discussing meeting the brethren in Caesarea, because there wouldn't be any going up. Caesarea was at what elevation?
Sea level.
Alright. Most believe that he went up to Jerusalem to meet the brethren. And you may say, well, that might be an obscure reference to a visit in Jerusalem. Perhaps so, but we're going to include it on our list. And then in Acts chapter 21, verses 15 through verse 23. Why did Paul go to Jerusalem in Acts 21 when he knew if he went there, things would not go well for him? Why did he go? Chris? All right, exactly right. Deliver that contribution. Yes. Now, I want to spend a little bit of time on how these questions that are going to be on the worksheets that you print off, and if you don't have the means to print them off, let me know, and we'll print you off something that looks kind of like this, and you can put that in a notebook and have all the questions and everything all collected together. But I want you to look at what we have on the board that represents how I want you to do this from the first chapter. Now, what all of these worksheets on each chapter, they're simply going to be a review. The worksheets are not going to be the material from which we teach the material. It is a review of the material. So when you come to class, and we will well know in advance when the worksheets we're going to be looking at. So you have that ready on that class period, and we'll go through that, okay? But it's important that we know, or that the class knows, what I'm looking for. And there's a reason for this. When you see on the worksheet, it says summarize. I've broken the chapters down into paragraphs, okay? It's broken down into paragraphs. And what I want you to do is to read that paragraph. And then in one sentence, now this is the hard part, in one sentence, you tell me what's in that paragraph. Okay? Now the reason I want to stress that is, often when I teach the book of Acts, and we do this, and I say, what's in, for example, chapter 1, 1 through 5? Somebody will read me back chapter 1, 1 through 5. Well, I could do that. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't want you to write a commentary on verses 1 through 5. Sometimes that happens. Just read the paragraph, and in your own words, in one simple sentence, tell me what's in it. That sound doable? Well, now that's easy to assign. It's not always so easy to boil down what might appear to be a lengthy paragraph and tell me what's in it in one sentence, like 15 through 26. But it can be done. Now you see what I'm looking for. Now let me tell you why. Again, I don't want a commentary on that paragraph. The why is I want you to be able to think it through on your own, independent of me, the class, or anybody else, and summarize those verses in one simple sentence. Now that's going to require something of you. That's going to make you think about what you've read. Okay? And that's what I want. Now, there's another section will be on each chapter. I've identified certain people that are in that chapter. Okay? Now, for example, here on chapter 1, identify for me Peter. I've had a lot of times when I teach the book of Acts, somebody say, well, he was one of the apostles. I know that already. Okay? We're going to see Peter's name mentioned in several chapters. So don't tell me in every chapter that we come to and find his name. He was one of the apostles. We all know that, right? Okay? What I'm looking for with the identification of these people is tell me what they did in the chapter. Okay? I'm not necessarily looking for who they are. I'm looking for the relevance to that chapter. All right? And then the same thing with places. In each worksheet, I've identified for you certain places that are discussed in the chapter. Now, when we come, for example, to Jerusalem, somebody say, well, you know, that was the capital of the Jews. That's where the temple was. Well, we all know that. That's not what we're looking for. What I want to know is what's the relevance of that place to that chapter. We'll read about Jerusalem a lot of times in the book of Acts. And every time we come to it, we don't want to say, well, that was the capital of the Jews. Okay? I want to know what happened in that chapter. Now, if you didn't get all that, I'm sure I'm going to have to tell that again Sunday morning. Because I don't want the answer, Peter was an apostle or Jerusalem was the capital of the Jews. Because that'll just simply bog us down. Because you know as well as I do, if you say that, I'm going to say, yeah, that's a fine answer, but it's to the wrong question. I want to know what happened in the chapter. Okay? Now, the questions. The questions. Several questions, not so much to wear you completely out, I don't think, but several questions on each chapter. Just review questions. Won't be any questions, but what we've talked about it in class. Okay? So we won't have to be searching for the answer during the class time. It'll be used to review the questions. Now, some of the chapters, though not all, many of them will have what we call, or what I've called, thought questions. Now, Randy, what's a thought question? Yeah, that's it. We've got to think about that. Yeah. But it will involve some controversy or some question that we have discussed in the class. Now, there's a purpose behind that. Because inevitably, in your discussions with people about what to do to become a Christian, what the church is, how the church functions, how it's organized, and so forth, these thought questions are going to come up. And I don't want you to hear it for the first time in a discussion with somebody, okay? I want you to have thought about that before the discussion. Another objective that I have for this class is not just simply to learn the book of Acts, but to see in the book of Acts how we can teach people to become Christians. How we can teach people what the church is, how it functions, what its organization and work and so forth is. Teaching principles or tools. Okay? Now, just as a quick review, I want to spend about, how much time I have left? About 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay? I want to spend just a little bit of time like we did in the history and geography study. You remember as we began that study, we started with a chronology. See what you know as far as putting it on the timeline, where it is. Okay? And then we did that again at the conclusion of the study. And I was very hopeful that our ability to put things in order was much improved. And I think it was. But this is going to be a very important part of our study. Which chapter is it in? I have several slides of these. And you don't always know which one I'm going to use. Okay? But we'll spend a little bit of time frequently trying to review in our minds what chapter something is in the book of Acts. And again, this is not something that we want to take a lot of time on. It's something that I want to be automatic, where you know it's in that chapter. So Melissa, if I call on you and I say, what chapter is this in? You'll say, that's in chapter 16. You'll know that, okay? Now that's what I want to do with this. I want to take a little bit of our remaining time and talk about what's in each chapter. Now a question before we do that. Taught this class in Arkansas one time, and I had a fellow, he just got irritated. He said, I don't see any reason why we need to do this. He said, well, we'll memorize that. And he said, next week we won't have any idea. And do you feel that way? Sometimes, you know, we think that way. And he did, and he didn't put forth the work to learn what's in each chapter. I didn't want him to memorize it. I wanted him to learn it. I wanted it to be so much a part of him that 20 years from now, I'll ask him, what chapter do I read about Lydia? And he'd tell me that's in chapter 16. Now, I dare say he might do that today, but I doubt it. Because he didn't learn it. I just doubt it. The time will come when I'll ask you to tell me what chapter do I read of each conversion in the book of Acts, and you tell it to me in order. And you'll be able to do that. Now, I want to see just how many of you think that you can do that. Well, maybe it'd be better if I say, do you think you can't do that? Anybody think that's going to be so hard that we won't get that done? Okay, good. We can do that. We can do that. I had a lady in the class one time, you know who I'm talking about, who said, I'll never be able to do that. Wasn't any time at all. She was telling me what was in the chapters. Because we went over them, and she was going over them, trying to learn. One way you can do that, as far as means and methods are concerned, you can download these charts that's going to be on our website, and you can sit in front of it and click it like that, and rehearse or review yourself. See if you know what it is. And if you're right, then wonderful. If you're not right, work on that one. Another way to do that takes a little bit more time than this, but perhaps is more profitable, is make note cards. I know that's old school, Jenny. Make note cards. You know, anybody remember the little 3x5 note card? Okay. You write the event on one side of the card, and you write the chapter on the other side of the card. You make flash cards out of it. Sounds simple, don't it, John? You're missing. Yeah, like those. Yeah, that's it. That's a note card, Chris, right there. Okay, got an app for that. Well, yes.
That's a handheld app.
Handheld app, yes. Diana?
Well, I'm from the old school. I have all these
We'll make sure you're prepared. Okay? We'll make sure you're prepared. I'll get you a printout of every one of the questions, just like this, and we'll work on figuring out the note cards. Okay? But a good way to do the note cards, Donna and I did this, what, 40 years ago? Well, a long time ago. We worked on these note cards and use them as flash cards. You hold it up and read what's on that side and see if you can get it on the back side. And it's a pretty simple operation. This will do a similar thing, yes.
So I heard you say something about Sunday morning. Now, the last thing I had heard that you were doing two different classes during the same time.
That is correct. That is correct. What we're doing tonight on Wednesday night, we're not going to continue on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights are going to be used for a study of the chronology of the life of Christ. Okay? I just got done a little ahead of schedule. I know that surprised you. On the history and geography study. Okay? So then, review. Mr. Richard, you've already looked at this one. The voyage to Rome. Well, that'd be 27, yeah. Paul's trip through Greece, Randy.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me.
You did? I always start on this side somehow.
Yeah, I think it's 17.
You think so?
Nope. I don't think it's 20.
I think it's 20, yeah. Carolyn, Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders at Miletus.
Wasn't he in Athens in 17?
He was in Athens in 17, yes. We'll get to that.
Isn't that Greece?
Well, that is Greece, yes. Let me look. Did I do the wrong one? I don't think I did. I checked it several times.
Well, I think you're talking about the third.
Yeah, his third preaching tour. He went through Greece. Yeah.
That's the only place where it specifically
mentions. Yeah. 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 Chapter 20.
So
So nobody knew where Athens was.
Nobody knew where Athens was. No.
Here.
Paul's farewell speech to the Ephesian elders at Miletus. Jenny. Acts 20. Did I miss you, Carolyn? What she said. The conversion of the 12 disciples of John. I saw you sitting there. Oh, he missed me. The conversion of the 12 disciples of John. Now, no looking.
Is that 19?
That's 19, yes. Melissa, the journey of Paul to Rome for 2 years. Paul at Rome, 2 years. Pardon me? 28, okay. The completion of the third tour. Betty Jo, you've done this before. The completion of the third tour. Yes, it is. It is. Yeah. Well, you're closer than you may be thinking. 21. He arrived in Jerusalem in chapter 21. Very good. Paul before Herod Agrippa the Second. What chapter is it in, James? 26, very good. I know what you were doing. You were starting in 21, weren't you?
That's right.
I know. I know. I heard you thinking. I heard the wheels turning. Peter's second sermon. His second sermon. Chris? 3. Good. Now, when I talk to you about Peter's first sermon, second sermon, and third sermon, it's always one number off. That's an easy way to remember. It's one number off. Peter's second sermon is chapter 3. The healing of the impotent man at Lystra. Now that's important. At Lystra. Donnie, you remember? Close. 14. Chapter 14. Demetrius the silversmith and his opposition to Paul. Jared? Demetrius the silversmith. No. Johnny? All right. Okay. Apostolic miracles. Now, don't tell me almost any chapter. There's one place where it's kind of emphasized. Where is it? I'll give you that one. In chapter 5, yeah. The apostles arrested by the Jews and miraculously released. Let's see. Trying to pick on people that have been in it. Randy. No looking. Okay, no. No, they were miraculously released in chapter 5. You remember when they were put in prison, charged not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, and they were miraculously released, and they came to get them the next morning, and they weren't there, and somebody reported they're down there in the temple preaching. Pardon me? Okay. All right, and, the next one, raising of Dorcas or Tabitha from the dead by Peter. Melissa? 9, yes. Now, if I've not called on you and you would like to participate, just jump right in there. So we know how to do that. Simon the sorcerer, Jared? Simon the sorcerer. Help him out, Jenny?
8,
yes. Completion of the second tour, James. Completion of the second tour.
We'll never know.
Oh. All I have to do is push that button now. All right. We'll do some more of this perhaps Sunday morning. I do want to explain the questions again and rehearse a little bit more of this. Begin reading the book of Acts. We may get to the discussion of the first chapter in the book of Acts. Okay?